Day 33, page 888 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnal. 888. In Lord's Day 33, we echo the word of God as follows. What is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? Two things, the dying away of the old self and the rising to life of the new. What is the dying away of the old self? To be genuinely sorry for sin and more to hate and run away from it. What is the rising to life of the new self? Wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every kind of good work. But what are good works? Only those which are done out of true faith, conform to God's law, and are done for His glory, and not those based on our own opinion or human tradition. That's Lord's Day 33. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's what we read, brothers and sisters. When was the last time that happened with you? That you were touched to the heart by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? When was the last time the gospel made such a deep impression upon you? So that you were moved to ask, what now do we do? Then what happened? What effect did it have when you were struck by the word? Did anything change in your life? At the time of Peter's sermon, something happened for sure. Peter's hearers realized that there should be a response, a reaction to the word they heard Peter proclaim. They had to do something with it, even though they didn't quite know exactly what. Hence their question, brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter's reply was significant. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, on the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, beloved, this is the matter of the Heidelberg Catechism in this afternoon's Lord's Day 33. What is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ calls for repentance. As you no doubt will recall, I have often asked you the question, what are you doing with the word as proclaimed to you? Just imagine that you hear the word preached from Sunday to Sunday and that you aren't touched deeply in your heart, struck in your conscience, or cut to the center of your soul. Yes, what if you are reading God's word as a daily routine in your daily devotions and you don't become impressed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We may be reading it, but it doesn't do anything to us or with us or in us. Then what? Then there won't be any change, any movement or any motivation toward repentance. Is that serious, beloved? Can we make this observation and just take note of it, receive it for information? Actually, it is very serious. Remember what we confessed in Lord's Day 32. The scriptures teach us that those who do not turn to God from their unrepentant walk of life shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, then we may be inclined to seek an escape from this serious reality. We might say to ourselves, oh, sure, but Peter's call to repentance wasn't addressed at the followers of the Lord Jesus, but a call to repentance to the Jews who had rejected the Savior, crucified him, and killed him. In other words, we already belong to him, and we are converted already. We are members of Christ's church and believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is our Lord to whom we belong. We did not crucify him. We have repented already. Is that true, though? Didn't we see in Lord's Day 32 already that the call to repent and believe that a holy life is especially for those who belong to the Lord Jesus? Yes, as we confess, our repentance and renewal are part and parcel of the work of deliverance, the work of salvation in Jesus Christ. In our scripture reading, brothers and sisters, we just saw one of the many examples of Paul's epistles. And we note that in each and every one of them, Paul calls his readers to repentance. Every letter, again, he shows that we have to die to our old nature and rise in a new. That we are to live by the Spirit and not by our sinful nature. Indeed, as our Lord say echoes the scriptures, we are never done repenting. Daily conversion is an essential part of the life of the true believer. How? By being cut to the heart by the proclamation of the gospel. That's what we see, therefore, when I proclaim the gospel, true believers repent upon the hearing of the word of God. By faith in Christ, our first point, by the working of the Holy Spirit, our second point. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. True believers repent upon the hearing of the word of God. By faith in Christ, our first point, by the working of the Spirit, our second point. So repentance through faith in Christ. How come, brothers and sisters, those hearers repented upon Peter's sermon that Pentecost in Jerusalem? Was it because Peter spoke so concretely about their sins? The fact that they had crucified and killed the Lord Jesus? Instead of believing in him whom the Father had sent, had revealed as the promised Messiah, they had rejected him. Should we conclude that a direct and concrete approach and address of the hearers will have such a far-reaching effect? They were all cut to the heart, right? And said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Yet, we read in verse 41, those who received his message, those who accepted his word, were baptized. In other words, it's possible that you are cut to the heart by the gospel and yet don't accept the message. Or you may be touched by the word and yet not share in the salvation in Christ. More is needed for that. Namely, you need faith for that. Previously, beloved, we confessed that we are saved by faith only, Lord's Day 7. We've also confessed where this faith comes from. Lord's Day 25, from the Holy Spirit who works it in our heart by the preaching of the gospel. We don't know how that works. It's a miracle, a mystery. As the canons of Dort put it, quote, in this life, believers cannot fully understand the way in which God does this work. Meanwhile, however, it is enough for them to know and experience that by this grace of God, they believe with the heart and love their Savior. Chapter 3, 4, Article 13. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this faith has a tremendous effect on your life. You're saved, redeemed, delivered from sin and Satan, and you share in all the benefits and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way of expressing this work of salvation, as we have seen, is confessing that you are justified in Christ by faith. Then in Lord's Day 32, we confess that the true believer must lead a holy life. Our sanctification also is part and parcel of Christ's work in us by His Holy Spirit. Christ renews us by His Holy Spirit to be His image, so that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for His benefits, and He may be praised by us. Acts 2, brothers and sisters, also showed that these two go together. The forgiveness of sins, in Christ's blood that is, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We saw the same in Paul's letter to the Galatians, as he wrote to all the congregations. Christ has set us free from sin and Satan in order that we would lead a life by the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires and live by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. The true believers would not go for anything less than that. They would eagerly desire the forgiveness of their sins as well as the highly necessary renewal of their life by the Holy Spirit. That's what they would want to receive because of the seriousness of their sins. That's what they want to accept by the power of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they receive this renewal of their life. That's why Peter added this promise to his reply, "For to you is the promise, and for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." God promises in Christ the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our sanctification, of our renewal, and of our repentance. You see, beloved, that's why it is so important that we hear the gospel proclaimed in all its fullness. That is, showing us our sins, our urgent need for salvation, as well as the glad tidings that we have this salvation in Jesus Christ. In all his epistles, the Apostle Paul holds up to us our old nature, the desires of our sinful flesh, as well as the forgiveness of sins in Christ and the renewal of our life by his Holy Spirit. We don't have to save ourselves. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace alone. And this salvation does not only include the forgiveness of sins, as we have seen, but also the renewal of life and all his benefits. Yes, then we also become God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do them. Ephesians 2 verse 10. That's why there is that effect. That's why there is that response of a sincere grief with heartfelt sorrow, as our Lord's Day shows, that we have offended God by our sin so that Christ had to die on the cross for us and in our place. Then also is a wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. You're glad because you may believe that God in Christ delivered you from your sins, from your guilt and punishment, yes, from the wrath of God over sin. Hence, it is impossible, beloved, that true believers would not be joyous Christians. Neither is it possible that true believers are superficial in their life of faith. Of course, it still is so that true repentance hurts and is accompanied of pain, of suffering, due to the dying of the old nature. It's like we hear today about people's struggle in a kickoff center, a rehab place, and the agony and anguish that comes with it. It's hard to hate and flee from sins that appeal to our natural desires. It's tough to let go of that which is wrong, yet which we had come to like and depend on and be enslaved to and become addicted to. True repentance, however, is the renewal of our life. That's why we don't need to succumb to our grief, but we may count on a heartfelt joy as well, because we will be delivered from those sins by faith in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Seeing how intense a struggle that is, this joy cannot be superficial. What great deliverance it is, our repentance. What amazing grace it is, this work of the Holy Spirit. No wonder we read in many a psalm how the psalmist rejoices with his whole heart. It's his joy in God through Christ. Hence he can say as well, serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100. Do you recognize those feelings of grief and joy, beloved? Sure, this may sound like mixed feelings, yet this is the experience indeed of every true believer. Both belong to a true faith, to a genuine repentance by faith in Christ. Thankfully, you don't have to be desperate about your sins, about persisting sins even, for you may call upon the Lord, for to you is the promise, and to you too, boys and girls, when you recognize the sins in your life, then you may hope in the salvation in Christ and in the working of the Holy Spirit. Yes, then we have seen that this joy is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. It's the joy of sharing in God as your Father, in Christ your Savior, and in the Spirit who renews you. It's the joy the angel proclaimed to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. It's the joy the Lord Jesus had promised when he told them that he would go to the Father in order to send them the Holy Spirit. John 15:16, 17. The apostles had experienced this joy when they had seen the Lord Jesus return into heaven and they went back to Jerusalem rejoicing. Luke 24, verse 52. This is the joy Paul meant when he exhorted the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Isn't it wonderful beloved, that our catechism deals with our repentance so extensively and so concretely. It's the work of regeneration and faith that we acknowledged and confessed when we made public profession of our faith. No, that isn't something vague and undetermined. It's a living reality in your life, both in your inner being and in your outer appearance in life. It shows you the fruit of the Spirit, the works of faith, and the evidence of your election. A true faith in Christ, a childlike respect for God, heartfelt sorrow over your sins, and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. What wonderful reality it is then, too, that we have this promise of the Holy Spirit who works this repentance, our second point, by the working of the Spirit. Indeed, brothers and sisters, this work of repentance does not stay in the heart as a heartfelt sorrow and a heartfelt joy. The Holy Spirit works a lot more. In a way, it is one work, of course. The heartfelt sorrow and joy and the dying of the old nature and the coming to life of the new. It shows in a moving away from sin and a moving toward good works. Yes, in one word, it's a turnabout. And that's what the words for repentance and conversion in the Greek denote. Epitrepho. It's a turnaround in the way of turning back to God and life in the face of God. It's also a change of mind, metanoia, so that you only want to do what you know pleases God. That's what it means to be renewed by the Holy Spirit, to be God's image again, and live in true righteousness and holiness again, as Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 24. That is, be the way God intended us to be in paradise, the way he created Adam. And you know what devastating consequences the fall of sin has brought. So now you avoid whatever is sinful or could lure you into sin. For sin is dangerous. Sin breaks up the communion with God and with your fellow man. Indeed, beloved, anyone who has seen the seriousness of sin, either in the effects and consequences, as well as in the punishment for sin and the wrath of God poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ, won't be able to have peace with sin, in the midst of sin. On the contrary, the Holy Spirit works in such true believers a love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. Thankfully, the Heidelberg Catechism is very concrete and radical here. It doesn't allow for half-heartedness, for a lackadaisical lifestyle, or a lukewarm conversion. The true believer wants to devote himself to God and dedicate himself in his whole life to God. He cannot tolerate in him or herself a sin or attitude that is instigated by sin, a sinful nature and the evil one. The Holy Spirit doesn't do an incomplete work. Just as the Lord Jesus did not accomplish anything less than a complete salvation. Hence, the true repentance by a true faith in Christ, as worked by the Holy Spirit, is a repentance that shows in a life according to the law of God. It's a life in love to God and the neighbor again. That means that we don't judge situations or make decisions by our feelings, our emotions, our traditions, but according to God's law, according to God's word, that is. We seek to do God's will. His righteousness, His truth, His wisdom in a life that His honor and glory. Do we now promote perfectionism, beloved? Well, as you know, that's what today's holiness movement advocates, suggesting that the true believer no longer sins, becomes free from sin. Would that be nice, right? That you don't have to pray for the forgiveness of sins any longer either. What dangerous assumption that would be, though. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy in your life. Since you no longer sin, supposedly, you don't see anything as sinful in your life any longer. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Just read one of the standard passages that comes with this Lord's Day, Romans 7. And here the Apostle Paul exclaims, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." We're still in a broken world. And the holiest have only a small beginning of the new obedience. That should not make us passive or lethargic, but it should drive us out to Christ and should make us appeal to His promise of the Holy Spirit, who cleanses us from all sins and renews us. Yes, beloved, what a beautiful occasion it always is then that we may deal with these Lord's days on today's day of the Lord, the resurrection of our Savior, by which He earned the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We may accept and believe the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit and seek the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the source of this new life with new characteristics, such as love, the new obedience according to the law of God, as we already mentioned. And joy. Joy in God through Christ, as we saw. As well as peace. Peace with God through Christ's sacrifice. Peace in the communion of saints. And peace with yourself because you know that God loves you. Thus the fruit of the Spirit's work in your heart and life shows in your patience. Your patience with God's way in your life. Patience with the sins and weaknesses of others. The way God is patient and long-suffering. Patience also as office bearers, as parents, as fellow members with each other. Or patience with the timing of the Lord when you long so much for the return of Christ. In the same way, beloved, we could elaborate on the other aspects of this fruit of the Spirit, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what a model we have in Christ. What image God has revealed of His own virtues. You know, I always compare this fruit of the Spirit with an orange that consists of 9 slices. It's one fruit with these characteristics. It means that when you have the fruit of the Spirit, and notice, singular, you will show all these characteristics or desire to show them. What great difference it makes when we see in ourselves and in each other that we sincerely desire this fruit of the Spirit to show in our life. And what a joy and delight it gives when we may see this fruit of the Spirit among the communion of saints. And then to know, beloved, that we have this promise of the Holy Spirit, and that we may see this promise confirmed and repeated so often in the administration of holy baptism and in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Then by faith in Christ and all His benefits, we may know that through the working of the Holy Spirit, we may be assured of our growing in faith, our flourishing through the fruit, as long as we walk by the Spirit and stay in step with the Spirit. What wonderful promise this is. The promise of the Holy Spirit. For as Paul adds to it in the final chapter, the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Amen. Let us respond by turning to number 400. 400. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me.